You're listening to the Youth Critic Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Interviews. I'm your host, Kel Smith. Joining me today in the interview is Martin von Krogh, all the way from Sweden. And we're here to talk about his movie, Cinema Premiere, which, unless you've heard, spoiler alert for the coverage episode that me and Sean Estridge did, this was my, Cinema Premiere was kind of, was my favorite film of the Atlanta Film Festival, and I was truly moved and truly, I mean, just loved the movie all together. But if you want to hear more about that, go to our coverage episode. I will have the link in the description below for, you know, the two-parter interviews. I will have both parts in the description below. But for now, I just want you to give Martin, I want you to give your full attention to Martin and as he talks about the making of this movie, his photography career, the situation in Kabul, Afghanistan, and what's happening with the subject at hand right now, post-movie. So thanks, everyone. So, Martin, do you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself and then a little bit about Cinema Premiere?
Well, my name is Martin, as you said, and I'm living in Sweden. Been working as a photographer for over 20 years. Started as a still photographer and then slowly shifted over to film 10 years ago. And it was because of I found this interesting story in Afghanistan about a cinema and completely fall in love with the place. I was supposed to do just a story in Afghanistan, sort of a quirky story. This one after, I mean, every conflict has the same dramaturgy and basically doing the emerge situation first, invasion, and then you go over for human touch stories and then you go for the quirky stories. And I was not better than trying to look for a quirky story and then just search for a cinema. I was there for an assignment for Newsweek and just happened to run into Cinema Premiere and start to shoot there for 1 week. Went back to my place. I was living in India at that time and start to edit the pictures and just discovered this was my first aha experience with film. There was something missing in the pictures and I just couldn't understand what until I realized that this is not a still picture story. This is a documentary. There were so many aspects and situation where you just couldn't capture it by image. So I realized then I just need to do this documentary, but I didn't know how to because I didn't know how to film. So I was in the middle of my career. Everything was going well. I didn't want to jump into school. So instead I started to assist and start to shoot reality shows and just anything that I could get a hold of to just learn. And then eventually 2015, I decided that I just have to jump off the cliff and see where it takes me. And I wasn't ready for it, but it was, it's been a really interesting travel. The worst experience ever when it comes to a creative aspect, but also the most learning and fascinating. And it's really hard when it comes to putting together a film. And I learned that the hard way.
So what was it about the cinema itself that, you know, inspired the story?
Well, the story developed during time, I would say. The first moment that actually caught my attention was up in the machine room where they use old carbon light to show the film. Nothing is electric. And so when he lights up it, lights up the bulb, it's burning. So, and this was this chubby old man with his son standing in a machine room with wife beaters, and he was lighting his cigarette onto the machine and continued to just flip the focus. And that was that scene. It was magic. It was so many things that touched me, and so many things alike to this fantastic Italian film, Cinema Paradiso. And there was some vague idea about this could actually be something really interesting. And slowly it started to develop into idea, because I've been covering conflict for 20 years. And eventually I got not tired of it, but I got tired of the situation. When you're covering conflict, it's the most frustrating thing is to not reach an audience with this really acute situation that you face every day when you're out in Iraq or whatever conflict you're in. And that is, it's either the subject is too narrow, so you don't get attention enough, you just reach the audience that are already aware of the situation, or the pictures are too beautiful, or it's too bloody. I mean, it's really hard to get a widespread over this kind of situations and topics. So the idea that formed after some years when learning how to film and still having this idea about Cinema Pamir back in my head was that this is actually a really good idea to talk about conflicts, but with the Western perspective. We all like to watch a movie when we go back to from work and veg out on the couch. But we do it to just dream away from the work. But in Afghanistan, they dream away from the conflict, from the war. So for me, this film is not about Afghanistan. This film is general to Mogadishu, to Baghdad, to all conflicts there. That's why also I don't dwell into Afghan history. We don't point out the political circumstances behind each situation or what leads up to something. It's a very shallow story about the conflict. The conflict itself is the interesting thing, and what happens to the people that has to experience it and become refugees or has to live in the conflict. That's what I care about in this story. So that was the ground idea and how it developed. It took many years, and then it was really hard to the most difficult thing in this kind of story was to not have a main character in that traditional way that you focus and dig deep into, and you actually get to learn in a really deeper level. The main character in this film is the cinema itself, and then you have all these bi characters that are the manager, who is a leading role, absolutely, but still you never get to learn him, get to know him by heart. And that has been really difficult to try to get attention enough throughout the whole film with no start and no beginning, because that's also one important thing. I didn't want to push my story into the cinema and go there to have an idea about let's try to bring women into the cinema and see how everybody reacts to that. I just wanted to go down there, work as I do as a journalist, and reflect and catch whatever there is in the room at the moment and see if I can put it together.
It's so interesting.
Good. Yeah, please.
I mean, it's interesting you say that, but everyone is, you know, everyone we get to meet in the story, you give them enough to where we can paint our own picture of who they are. And yeah, what, you know, not just necessarily what the cinema means, but what does the entire kind of the film market means to these people that are working in it. And to me, that's, I think, one of the big accomplishments. Yes, you're not diving you're not diving into that conflict, but you're diving into what's, you know, the you're diving more into the theater's conflict, if anything, yeah. and the market's conflict, which, you know, which creates a very interesting outlook, and you're seeing the world through their you're seeing this world, you know, through their eyes, and I that was for me the most appealing, that was an appealing part to me. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're totally right. But the idea was to have enough connection points to a Western audience that you can relate to them, because it's really hard to relate to people in a country stand. I mean, especially when it comes to this culture, for a Western person that hasn't been having that much contact with Muslim persons or Afghans or Iraqis or whatever, it's really hard to relate to them. But for me, I've been traveling there for so many years, and we all are human beings. We are all the same. And that's what I'm trying to accomplish, to try to make them, the culture, I mean, humanize it and see that, of course, they have different problems. They're dealing with hush inside a movie. You don't do that in Sweden. Probably don't do that in America as well. But it's a different situation. But in the end, it's back to loving the cinema and loving entertainment and dream away from whatever you're dreaming away from. If it's a conflict or if it's your work or girlfriend or problems or just enjoy a film, that's universal.
Absolutely. So to move into that, so how did you earn their trust to film and watch them and, you know, watch the and film their kind of day-to-day, you know, lives, and how were you able to gain, you know, work with them to gain their trust?
Well, I started 2008 by just taking pictures of them. I thought it was just going to be 1 week and then I'm off. But when I realized that this is a really good idea to be a documentary about, every time I was back to Afghanistan, I visited the cinema, printed out my pictures, gave to them, talked to them, and trying to build some kind of relations. And eventually, I mean, it's been lots of problems during the way to gain their trust, even when we actually came down there with all the equipment and was supposed to start film. Lots of hustling and wheeling and dealing about how this was supposed to be made and so on and so on. But once we just started to film, it was, that's my work. That's what I've been doing for the last 20 years, to just make people comfortable enough to just let me be with them for a couple of months, to just film them everyday life. And that's the most fun part, to register and hang out and try not to interfere. And that's the beauty of a documentary, I think. To just be there and to let the audience, you can feel that you can actually be the fly on the wall.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said earlier, you get to, you know everyone in little snippets, but enough to paint a picture. And I don't think you would have been able to do that without that, you know, that trust, that bridge, if you will.
Yeah.
So and then, so to get forward, you had the premiere at the end of the movie, and I'm blanking on the director's name that was there. How did all that work out, you know, to film the premiere, and then, you know, and what was the reception towards that movie at the end? Like, what was the what was there any kind of reaction to the movie? At all at the end of the film?
Well, absolutely. You're talking about the Farkunda movie, and Farkunda was a really tragic incident where this young girl was accused of burning the Quran, and then got lynched by a big mob that killed her, and did all sort of nasty things to her, set her on fire, threw her
Yes.
over, throw stones, and that was a huge event in Afghanistan at the time as well. People were, I mean. The country was split apart. Many, many people, of course, really condemned the whole situation and supported the girl and said, this is not who we are, this is medieval, and so on and so on. So it was really interesting to see the reactions once the movie came out. It was a big event. And the director, he made a really interesting movie, even if it's short and it's got old flicks, but the cool thing that we were really scared that this is going to be, I mean, either it's going to be a crowd outside the cinema, it's going to condemn the film and say, what are you doing, you're not Muslims, or whatever they're going to say, the fundamentalists, or it's going to be a bomb attack or something. But in the end, it was not a lot of attention, but still, the ones that got there got really touched, and it really changed people, I would say, and saw another side of the story. At the same time, the political situation didn't change that much. They didn't court enough people. They didn't put them behind, I mean, on trial. So it was more of a, how do you say it? It was more of a,
A
not a
lukewarm
civilian act.
reception.
Yeah, warm reception, but also, I mean, a street reactions, not the political reactions that it came through. But the people, the citizen, they really supported the film.
Okay. All right. So now that we're in the, not to bring up the not to bring up the pandemic, but how has is Cinema Pamir still open, or is it, how what has happened to the cinema in the midst of the pandemic?
Well, the sad thing is, last fall, the cinema had to close due
Oh.
to government directives. They wanted to make the cinema into a conference hall. So at the moment, I spoke with one of the employees just the other day, and he said it's still closed. We don't know. It's still governmentally run. So at the moment, it's not operational. But people in Afghanistan, due to the pandemic, is suffering a lot. It's a big crisis over there. Absolutely.
I can only imagine. So, okay, I hate to hear that because I hate to hear all of that because, I mean, not just the people, but I mean the cinema, as you kind as it was kind of openly stated in the movie, it's kind of a school, it's an educational experience for, for the people, for the, people have asked for the people in Kabul, is that what's how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Kabul and
Okay.
Afghanistan, yeah.
So, to see to hear that go away and or be put on hold, and then to see to even hear more that the Afghan people are really suffering, I mean, that's all very tr it's very tragic, it's awful.
Yeah.
So what is so now that it's just it that's sorry it's just put on hold right now, right?
Yeah, it's put on hold, but the cool thing is, we you I mean, I worked with a big local crew. We were two Swedes coming over to Afghanistan, and we didn't speak any Dari or Pashto, as they speak in Afghanistan, or Urdu. But so we had to employ a local production crew and young filmmakers, and start to get to know the Afghan film society, and it's really vivid and it's super interesting and a lot of, I mean, really good ideas, strong storytellers, and with a new director of Afghan film, who is the big national film, governmentally film controlled institute. Really looking forward to see what's coming out of, from Afghanistan the next couple of years, because they're really urgent to tell stories about the situation, about fiction, documentary, and it's a really cool atmosphere out there, even due to all the circumstances with conflict and so on. So it's a really cool scene there.
Well, that's great. That's awesome. But so my final kind of just kind of start wrapping things up a little bit. Where, what's, do you have anything else in the pipeline? Do you have any other projects that you can officially talk about?
Well, I'm working currently on a documentary about a Swedish band called Sahara Hot Nights, who was the first one of really strong female band here in Sweden. They started up as 14 years old girls and toured the world, and are from a small city up north in Sweden. They know each other since they were 3 years old. So it's a really interesting story about friendship, and they're coming back. They're just recording another album, and I'm following them with this new album and retrospective, and then the friendship and how it is to come from a small place where the only thing that you do is basically work at the industry, or you are hunting or doing snowmobile, or and then you have these girls that are not aware of don't want to be called a girl band. They just say, well, we just play music. So it's going to be a really interesting story that I've been shooting since spring.
Great. Nice. I'm actually looking, that actually sounds interesting to me. So I'm looking forward to it now.
Yeah.
So, and what's next for a cinema premiere in terms of a movie?
Well, at the moment, it's this is the year for film festival for the film. Which it must be the worst year ever to release a film in. So unfortunately, I haven't been able to go to so many festivals due to Corona, and many of the festivals have been put on hold. So we're out there still looking for distributors and see how we can distribute the film. And at the moment, it's in Belgium, in Dockville, another festival. Then we have a couple of other festivals going on around the world. So we'll see from there. We have no clue. We're just play as it comes along and hope for the best.
I wish you all the best of luck. I hope you guys get to into as many as possible. You know, so because I'm dead serious when I say this. This was a great movie, and I'm very happy it made it to the Atlanta Film Festival.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, Martin, just last one. Where can the good people find you? Where can people find your photography? And do you have any social media links that you want people to find?
Yeah, you just search for my name. I'm on Instagram. I have a website. You can see my pictures. And there I put up some news also. Otherwise, Facebook. Reach out, and I'd love to talk about photo and film and creativity.
All right, and well, thank you, Martin, and everyone, thank you for listening, and we'll be back with you soon for more Youth Critic episodes. Thanks, everyone.